Welcome to the show, amigos. We have a very interesting show lined up for you today. Joining us, we have Shay Parker. She is the founder of Best American Psychics, and you can find her over at bestamericanpsychics.com. We're going to have an interesting conversation about spells, and we're going to talk a little bit about voodoo, and do these things really exist? And then, are psychics real? Are they just putting up an act? We're going to talk about all those things, so this is definitely a conversation you want to stick around for. But before we get started, I'd like to remind you that starting in May 15th, those of you that listen to us on Radio Free Brooklyn, our time slot is going to change. We are going to air every Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, so you make sure you make a note of that. I also want to remind you that you can support the show on Patreon, and you can go over to patreon.com/RobAguilarShow. So we've got an interesting guest, we've got a great conversation lined up. Stick around, you do not want to be left out.
From A1 Studios in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, New York, this is the Rob Aguilar Show.
Shay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. It is a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it.
So we're going to talk about spells and all these mystical things. Now, you hear a lot about all these different spells and a hex, like someone like from people. I remember the older people. I'm originally from Brooklyn, and where I grew up, we had, and I want to say she was an older Polish lady. Now I'm going back to like the late 70s, and she always talked about the old country. Mm-hmm. And back then she would say, oh, well, you know, they'd give you the evil eye if they didn't like you, or they'd put the hex on you. And I always kind of found it funny. Sometimes they'd give you examples of stories where they heard that, you know, someone loved someone else. And well, I'll share one in particular that I kind of remember. It was this couple. I didn't know them. She was just telling us stories when we were little kids. The guy left her. She was heartbroken. And then she went to this lady who did a spell with his picture, candles, and all this stuff. And he came back to her, and they got married and had a bunch of kids. Mm. But I was like, yeah, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if that's really true. These are just old wives' tales. Mm-hmm. What do you think about all that stuff?
Well, you know, it's interesting because obviously for thousands of years we've had, I mean, go to the Bible, go to folklore, go to, gosh, even in our Disney movies, we've got the entire double toil and trouble and that, you know, all that. So this is something that is very steeped in our history, and it has been ever since, you know, way, 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 way back. So, you know, it begs the question, just like you were just saying, Rob, is there really something to this? Because, you know, it's usually when something is repeated that many times throughout the years, there is a bit of, you know, it originated from somewhere. Let's put it that way. So, you know, do I know about love spells and stuff like that? And of course, you know, you just Google anything. You can run the gamut on the computer of, oh my God, you know, you can find anything out there from a love spell to a hex to a, you know, whatever the case may be. So is there validity to spells and curses and such? The short answer, according to scientific proof now, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit here, but the short answer is there is power in words that has been scientifically proven as a fact. So delving into that a little bit more, they've done research, you know, literally across the globe. Many, many, many scientists have done this. And again, this is just something you can Google. It's not, you know, it's not hidden information anywhere. But a study was done about the word no. And it's actually the most powerful word known it's the most powerful word according to the neural changes that happen in your brain. So it's quite fascinating because when your brain hears the word no, it actually releases like dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters, which immediately put the body into, I'm sure you've heard, the body goes into fight or flight usually. So they immediately interrupt the normal functioning of your brain. And that, of course, impairs your logic, your reason, your language processing, communication, and all sorts of stuff. So basically, a negative word, and in this case we used no, certainly does have long-lasting effects on the way that your brain is transmitting things and processing things. Now, on the flip side of that, the word yes does not produce negative emotion, but it also does not trigger fight or flight. So therefore, you can hear the word yes many, 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 many times, but it doesn't send the body into alarm. So what happens is it's just sort of like the body remains neutral. It's like, okay, yes is neutral, no is negative fight or flight. So, you know, I'm sure you can understand that if you take that, you've heard of all these people that do affirmations and this and that. Well, the theory behind that is affirmations, even though they're positive, literally have to be said over and over and over and over and over again, because they are so much less of a basic reality to your brain because they offer no threat whatsoever. So in order to make the power of yes be as equally powerful as the power of no or any negative connotation, you have to really reinforce it. As opposed to one no can knock you way off your feet. You know, you probably need about 10 to 15 yeses to inspire that kind of response on the other side of the balance. So, you know, this really is the very base theory behind so-called spells and curses and such, because everything is energy, and you're putting, you know, words are energy, and we are human beings that are made up of energy. So if you take a negative energy and you put it out there, then, you know, the brain will react much more strongly to it. And even if you don't consciously know that you're reacting to it, you know, your body physiologically is reacting. So therefore, in essence, can somebody put a spell on you and can it affect you? Absolutely. But it's not necessarily because that person holds power over you. It's more if you are susceptible and you're kind of wallowing in that, like, oh, I've been cursed. Woe is me. You know, I mean, you are perpetuating it, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like you're doing it to yourself.
Yes. I mean, now there is a caveat to that, because it also has been proven under a microscope that negativity directed towards even beings or objects without a central nervous system and without a brain have proven, it's been proven, that negative words spoken to, say, a plant or a bowl of rice in a jar, you know, like a jar of water, as opposed to a bowl of rice in a jar of water. One of them, this scientist did this experiment, and he put a bunch of rice with water in a jar, and he sealed it. He put another one identical rice, identical water, identical sealing, everything. One of them he put on there a positive, you know, affirmation, so to speak, something like, you are beautiful. On the other one he put, you are ugly. And the experiment was to have a bunch of students every single day walk past each jar and read to the jar what was written on the rice, I mean on the jar. And do you know that after 30 days, the jar that had the positive affirmation on it was still sitting there almost untouched, and the jar that had the negative affirmation on it was like, it was all nasty. I mean, it turned brown. It was like molding in there. It was disintegrating. It was nasty. So what's fascinating about this is the energy directed from those students at that inanimate object, okay, actually did affect the inanimate object. So the answer to this is twofold. If you believe that someone is pointing negativity towards you, then yes, it certainly can affect you. But also in turn, if you point negativity towards something else, you can harm it. Now, the question becomes, how on earth did rice get affected by this? But what he found out was it actually was not the rice. It was the water. And again, you can Google all this. I mean, we don't have time to go into the whole thing, but you know, his theory, the scientist was trying to prove that we could actually heal the planet, because of the water, but he happened to do this experiment and it was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating. So, you know, the short answer, Rob, is you do control your own negativity, but there are others that can sort of send you negativity. Now, the catch to all of this is what you allow in, ultimately. So if you're a type of person that is very susceptible to thinking that people are, you know, sending you bad juju and all this stuff, and you allow that to come into your life, then yes, it certainly can affect you. And even if you've got someone in California and you're sitting in New York sending you a supposed curse, again, they've put that negative energy out into the world. However, if you are the type of person that is secure within yourself and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not letting that affect me. You ultimately can make the choice to overcome whatever words or negativity is thrown at you, you know, regardless of what people say. And I'm going to tell you guys right now out there listening, you know, I own a psychic directory. I've been doing this for years. Do not go to a person that tells you that they're going to charge you $10,000, $15,000 to remove a negative curse. Do not do it, because you are being conned, you are being scammed, and they are stealing every cent that you have earned, and you will be worse off than you were when you started. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's not like you can go somewhere and they're going to give you something that you carry in your pocket to protect you against.
Well, yes, actually they can. But you know why it works? Because you are believing that it's going to work. You see, it's the age old tale, mind over matter. You know, now, are there dark energies out in the world? Of course there are. But if someone is out there and they say to you, you have to give me $10,000 to remove a curse from you, you better run. Now, if you go to them and they spend an hour with you and they say, okay, you know, for our session today, it was $150, fine. You know, pay them $150 if you really think that they're helping you and you get a little, you know, rock of protection or whatever. But do not, you know, let them suck you into this, oh, you're cursed for life and it's going to take me 6 months to remove this and blah, blah, blah. Because that's just a scam. So,
and if someone's telling you that, I think that would only just kind of screw with your brain even more.
It would.
And just totally mess you up from that point on.
Yeah. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head, because once again, all you're doing is you're replaying that. And probably, I mean, you know how people are. They're like, oh yeah, I'm cursed. I'm telling you, they're sending me negative energy. I know, because I fell and I tripped today. And then, you know, I locked my keys in my car, and then I stuck in traffic, and then it's because I'm cursed. And it's like, no, it's not because you're cursed. It's because everybody has, you know, we all have good and bad days. But if you allow that to be a constant in your life, then, you know, you attract what you attract because of your outlook on things, you know.
So now, for example, like the stuff you kind of see in the movies, like voodoo spells or Santeria, is it basically the same thing that you just explained? It's just because whoever's on the receiving end believes it. And then therefore they're opening themselves up to, you know, to negativity.
Yeah, there are. And listen, there are very, very strong practitioners out there that truly believe in this. So you have to understand that this is twofold. You've got, let's say you have a dark magic practitioner and they truly, truly believe in what they're doing. And it's not to say that their work does not have power, because as I said, the energy is energy. And if you're directing a very negative energy towards something and you have an intent to like destroy whatever that is or do whatever, then certainly that there is power in that. And I'm not sitting here saying that there's not, but the flip side of it is you have to, on your side, fortify yourself. I mean, if you're one of these people that's particularly sensitive to negativity and you really always feel like Eeyore, you know, oh, woe is me and all that, then you need to, you know, you need to bump that up a bit, because you are going to continue to be susceptible to all the negativity that's out there, because you're basically welcoming it in, you know. I mean, the best advice that I can give to anybody out there is, Is there power in negativity? Of course, but there's also power in positivity. Now, you have to work a whole lot harder with the positive things, and it is a lot harder to be positive. I mean, listen, when you've had a really bad day, and we all do it, I mean, sometimes I'm like, God, can I not get a break? You know, but then I have to stop and think, okay, you're being ridiculous. You know, you've got to look at all these positive things, and you know, I might go outside and I might take a walk with my dog, or I might go visit my horse, or I might go, you know, do things where I know that I can reground myself. So to answer you, is there power in Santeria and voodoo and such? Yes, there is that possibility, but you still have the ability to fight it, I guess is what I'm really trying to get to here.
Yeah, it's interesting that the positive side of things is harder than the negative side of things. It kind of sucks that
It does suck. But that therein lies being human. It's the fight or flight, you know, because our brain processes immediately, is this a threat? That's the first thing our brain is programmed to do, because our brain needs to keep us alive. So therefore, anything, the thousands and thousands and thousands of things that you see and you have recorded since you were a you know, in utero, because the brain actually begins recording in utero, it stores all of these things. Whether or not we can access them in adulthood, of course, we can't, most of us. But it records them all, because it has to, its job is to keep you alive. So of course it's going to take something that is a negative, and it's going to say, oh no, do we need to shut down? Do we need to, you know, hunker down and protect the body? What do we do? What do we, you know? So you go into that fight or flight versus, oh yes, the sky is blue, the grass is green, the birds are chirping, no worries here, you know? So it's, yeah, it does suck though. You're right.
Then the opposite of that, let's say, for example, if someone is always kind of sending positive vibes your way, your friends are always positive around you, always cheering you on, rooting for you, does that have the same effect as if someone's sending negative vibes your way?
Oh, I mean, I believe it does, because listen, something I do in my life is I try to walk down the road and, you know, New York City, anywhere, and I just try to make eye contact with people and smile at them. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, it just, and you don't have to do it with every single person, but try in a given day to make eye contact with 10 people and smile at them. And you would, I mean, you would be amazed at like how many people at first, especially in New York, they're shocked by it. You know, they look at you like, what are you doing? You're smiling at me. But, and I mean, I love New York, but it you know, it's a really good feeling, and it brings it kind of back to you, and then they realize, oh wow, hey, that kind of felt nice, you know, and
Nice to do it.
It does. It
and then I guess it must feel just as nice to be on the receiving end.
It does, and it, you know, you create a win-win. So therefore, you've already double pumped the positivity. Whereas instead of standing there looking in the mirror and saying, I am worthy, I am beautiful, you know, just walk out into the world and you know, we are social creatures for the most part. We need a community. And, you know, just walk up, smile at somebody, hold a door for somebody. You know, I mean, I love to do stuff like that. Like if I go to the drive-thru, you know, I'll pay for the person behind me. I'll be like, hey, that one's on me. And I love to do it, because I mean, it's so cool, because if you look, like you see in the rearview mirror, their face, and they're just, I mean, they're so shocked, and it, I mean, it's totally fun. I actually really enjoy doing it. So, you know, just try these little things out there. I'd encourage your listeners to now, don't do it all the time. You know, it's not, I'm not saying buy everybody in McDonald's food, but you know, every now and again, it's pretty cool to kind of do something nice and see, you know, see how it comes back to you. So
always comes back to you. Things like that. We've put together a list of things that we kind of talk about on different episodes, of 100 things that a guy should do at least once in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And one of the things on that list is you at least once in your life should buy a round of drinks for everyone at the bar.
Wow. Yeah. Just make sure you go to an underpopulated bar.
Yeah. Or it could be, you know, during like happy hour, when two for one or something like that. But first of all, the feeling of yourself as a guy being able to do that and be like, you know, around on me for everyone. It's just,
I know, it's awesome.
An amazing feeling to be able to do that. And then I guess the people on the receiving end of that, oh, what a cool dude. Look at that. He bought a round for, you know, the entire bar.
Yeah.
And it feels good and it comes back.
I know. It definitely. I know. I love it.
So now what do you say to people who say, you know, psychics, they don't exist. It's just mumbo jumbo.
Well, you know, it's funny because I came from that mindset many years ago before I got into this whole thing. You know, I wasn't an all out like, oh, you guys are full of it, you know, but I really didn't. I'm a very left brained individual. You know, I mean, I'm kind of a nerd. I do computers, web programming, finance, all that, you know, so I was not. The metaphysical world was not my reality. And I wasn't saying absolutely not. It cannot exist because I'm not, guess what? I'm not that important. I cannot say what can really exist and what, can, you know, but I, you know, I would say to those people that I mean, if they were asking my opinion, I would just say, guys, listen, I totally get the skepticism, but I have seen undeniable evidential proof that it does. And there's nothing I can't go back to thinking that that proof did not, wasn't shown to me. So I guess really what it is everybody is walking their own journey. And I'm not out there to convince anybody that, hey, psychics are real or psychics are not or whatever. All I know is I've had things that have been told to me in a psychic reading that there is no possible way. And I mean evidential information. And by evidential information, I mean, I was on a reading one time with somebody. Actually, I was testing them for our directory. And now, mind you, I was in North Carolina. She was in New York City. She did not know me from Adam. She knew nothing about me. She did not have my address. She did not have my name. She did not have my telephone number. She did not there was nothing she could Google. There was nothing she could, there was no possible way that she could know anything about me, okay? And she began to tell me, you know, all these things. She told me about my grandmother. She told me my grandmother's name. She told me a recipe that my grandmother used to make that there is no possible way in the world she could have known about that recipe. I mean, there's just none. And then she even described the room that I was sitting in down to the pillow that was sitting next to me, which was a purple pillow with white trim and a dragon embroidered on it. Now, how in the world, I mean, how could someone possibly know those things, you know, without being in my home? Or, I mean, there were no pictures that she could have seen. There was no one that she could have talked to. I live alone. And in fact, it was a new pillow. I mean, it wasn't even that old. So I don't understand. You know, and that's happened so many times, Rob. I mean, I'm just giving one example, but I'm talking about truly evidential information that when you are alone in life and there is no way that another person alive could know that you experienced this, how on earth can they give you that detailed of information? Now, on the flip side of that, if you do go to a psychic and they say, oh, you know, you struggled in your childhood and you've had financial difficulties and they give you very vague information. Well then, yeah, I mean, anybody can say that. And,
right.
And
who hasn't?
Yeah, exactly. There's not one person out there who hasn't struggled with something. I mean, unless you're just, I don't know, extremely blessed, but you know, when they can start bringing in names, dates, times, you know, things that people died of, the descriptions in them, you know, after they've crossed over, a dog that they had 30 years ago that is with them on the other side that there's no way. I mean, you know, how would somebody know about a poodle that your great, great grandfather had that had three legs because he got hit by a car? I mean, seriously, like how would some perfect stranger know that, you know? So always look for evidential information is what I would tell somebody. But ultimately, I can't convince anybody. I mean, they've got to have their own experience. I can direct them to some pretty phenomenal psychics, but I can't make that decision for them. You know, I mean, that's on them. So
Do you have these, do you call them? Psychic abilities.
Psychic abilities. You know, it's clairvoyance, telekinesis, clairaudience. There's all sorts of different things. But no, I absolutely do not. So I am, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm a totally left brain nerdy individual. I am not a psychic by any stretch of the imagination. But what that actually makes my job kind of cool because I run a psychic directory, but I am very skeptical too. So I'm sort of like, if they're going to pass the test, and they are tested twice on bestamericanpsychics.com, they have to go through two separate tests on the phone, completely blind readings. So in other words, they have to do two separate 30-minute telephone readings. And they cannot, they don't have name, number, location. They don't know anything or anything whatsoever about the person that's going to be calling them. And we call them from a blocked number. So they only get the person's first name. So in other words, if you're a psychic testing for Best American Psychics, the information you get is you're going to be doing a reading for John at 3:00 and give us your phone number because John will be calling you. That's all they get. So basically they've got to call in and give just a blind reading. I mean, they don't get to talk to the person. They don't get to feel them out. They don't get to do anything. They just have to do a cold reading. Hi, John. John is allowed to ask one question and that's it. You know, so he'll say, okay, well, tell me about my career. And that's all they get. So basically they've got to do a 30-minute reading from there. And then John just has his little checklist and is going through it, checking off what is a hit and what is a miss. So that's kind of how the whole thing works. But no, I'm not. I am not a psychic, but we have developed tests and, we do reference checks. We do ethics tests. I'm sorry. We do background checks. We do all sorts of stuff to make sure that people are not going to get conned out there and that they're getting actual ethical psychics. So they cannot get on our directory unless they've been double tested, background checked, reference checked, ethics checked, et cetera. The list goes on and on. So,
from your experience screening psychics, what's the percentage of real psychics versus, because I'm sure you've run into people who just didn't pass the test.
Oh, all the time. Every day. 8 out of 10 we turn down. But you know, Rob, it's not that we turn them down because they don't have psychic ability. 9 times out of 10, it's we turn them down because they don't have the psychic ethics that go along with it. So let me give you an example. If you are somebody that truly has psychic ability, and there are a lot of people out there that do, they just have a heightened awareness, and they are able to know things about other people. But number one rule in psychic work is you do not walk up to somebody on the street and start reading them. That is a complete and utter violation of that person's privacy and trust. You might as well walk up to a woman and lift her skirt because that is essentially what you're doing. If you do not have permission from that person to delve into their private life and what's going on with them, then you better keep your mouth shut because that is a complete ethical violation and we don't tolerate that on our directory at all. I mean, if you answer an ethical question that way and you say, well, yeah, I'll walk up to somebody in the grocery store and give them a message, you're done. You won't even get in the door because that we're so particular on ethics because there are so many people that are conned by psychics out there and they end up losing, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and their whole lives are ruined, you know, because of it. And we go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum on it and we promote ethics above all else. So,
well, there was an article, I want to say maybe about 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. It was these, I believe it was two or three women that went to jail here in New York. And they went to jail because they were conning people out of money. I think in total combined, these women scammed like $2 million out of people.
Yep.
Similar to how we started the conversation before, it was a guy who was dumped by a girl and he wanted her back and she was taking money from him until the guy was broke on the street with not a penny in his pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that it taps into a certain need from people to know about the unknown, to know about the future. Do psychics know about the future? They know about the past. Define the psychic.
Well, that's a very open-ended question, because yes and yes. But you know, every psychic is different. So what happens is, a psychic is a person that deals with information. They talk to spirit, or your spirit guides. Every person out there has spirit guides, and they are not dead people on the other side that are coming through in a mediumship reading. These are literal guides that are there to sort of guide you on your way and watch over you. They're not guardian angels. That's a whole separate topic. But everybody is appointed a guide that is on the other side, but he's not, he or she, well, I can't even really use, you know, gender, because they're just beings, so to speak. But anyway, the psychics will connect to quote unquote spirit, because it is a spirit guide that they're connecting to, and they can give you information on, you know, life, love, career, finances, the things that are here on this earthly plane that are affecting your life on a daily basis. Can they tap into the past, present, and future? Yes, but that's not a guarantee at all times. Like, they can give you, your guides on the other side sort of act like a GPS. They can say, okay, this is the best direction to get to your destination, but ultimately you're the one driving the car. So how many times have you guys had the GPS on and then the lady's like, turn right, but you know that, oh, well, if I go this way, I can, you know, it's a more scenic route, so I'm just going to go take this more scenic route. The scenic route will take you longer, but you made the decision. I mean, you'll still get to where you're going, but the spirit guide can kind of say, hey, turn right here, and you'll get there a lot faster. But as humans, we often do not do that. So what a psychic can do, if they're a good ethical psychic, is just say, your spirit guides are saying. And again, a good psychic will never say to you, I think, because it shouldn't be about them. They shouldn't be thinking anything. Okay, you don't care what they think. They're a perfect stranger. What you are trying to tap into ultimately is your spirit guide, and they're supposed to help you, you know, go the direction that you're supposed to go. So ultimately, the role of the psychic is for them to just help be the sort of like the telephone line or the postman delivering the message from spirit. Now, in turn, a psychic medium, has the ability to actually connect to Uncle Fred and, you know, Aunt Ruby and the ones that actually crossed over and are on the other side. Now, what people often do mistakenly is they think, oh, well, my mom passed away and I need to talk to her because she needs to tell me what to do now. Well, when we die, okay, we do go to another plane, but and I'm going to bust a lot of bubbles out there maybe, but I hope I don't get hate mail for this. But what happens is you do not ultimately become omnipotent, okay? Like, you are still, your soul is still your soul. And when you go to the other side, guess what? You still have work to do. You know, you have moved to a level, another phase of life, but you have not all of a sudden become God. It doesn't happen that way. You still have just as much work to do.
You said work, and I'm like, you mean to tell me it doesn't end once we're dead?
No, I'm afraid it doesn't.
Oh, man.
It does not end. You're just literally in another phase of life.
And I was just looking to, like, one day when I'm long gone, to just kind of relax. I don't want to work anymore. I want to relax.
Well, it's not like you're going to a 9-to-5 job, but you are working on your soul advancement. I mean, I hate to tell everybody out there, but from the research that I've done and the things that I've found, the soul is eternal. Now, mind you, I was raised Roman Catholic, very strictly Roman Catholic, and I was taught, you live, you die, you go to purgatory, you go to heaven or hell. I mean, that was it, and you spent an eternity there. Well, I've come to find out, you know, there's so much more going on than meets the eye. So I no longer believe that we live, we die, we go to heaven or hell, because it's just been proven to me, I mean, thousands of times, that that's not what happens. When these people are on the other side and they're connecting with you, you know, loved ones that have passed over, they are not in quote unquote heaven or hell. They're in a phase of life where they are advanced. Now, don't get me wrong. They do have more knowledge and they are able to help us here on the other side to a point, but they are still like, they still hold human emotion for a while. They still hold, you know, oh, I love you and you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you should be, I mean, they still sometimes hold those human judgments. And it takes them a little while to get rid of that because, you know, they've started a new phase of life. So it's all very complex and it's, and I sure as heck don't have all the answers, but I'm just kind of repeating the things I've learned throughout the years. And it's a fascinating study. It really, really is.
So, very fascinating. Yeah, so yeah. It's almost fair to say that there isn't really a heaven or hell, at least in the way that we were taught, you know, as children, like you said, yourself being Roman Catholic or being brought up Roman Catholic, I was brought up the same way. What happens after we leave this physical world isn't necessarily what we were taught.
The end.
Or it continues, but not necessarily in the same interpretation of the traditional, what we
Correct.
Believe to be heaven and hell. Yeah, I think maybe, you know, when the Bible was written, when all these religions were founded, I think people thought differently, or maybe their way of expressing certain things was limited as opposed to how we communicate now. And maybe they saw the same things that we see now, but they interpreted differently. And their best explanation was, well, you'll go to this heavenly place or you won't.
Right.
I don't
right.
know if that kind of makes sense to you.
It does. It does. And you know, you have to, if you do go way back into studying world religions, which I did in college, they, you know, the Bible was written, just like all the other, of course, holy doctrines out there, it was written by people. I mean, let's face it. So people, no matter what, have their own interpretation, and they also have their own agenda. So, you know, you've got the Bible was written, and it was during times of power, and it was also during times of trying to keep rule. And, you know, what better way to keep rule than to inspire fear of you either do this and you live a good life, or you're going to end up wailing and gnashing for the rest of your eternity. Okay. So it
That's
was
scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Really scary. Cause listen, I remember when I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, like I was just so focused on being good because I didn't want to end up, you know, with the devil. So,
sure.
Which,
and they tell you
yeah.
a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. And
oh yeah. And you're like burning for all eternity. So, right. you know,
and you're a little kid that's like 8 or 9.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you just might as well just hang it up right there. You know, you're scared to death. So, but yeah. And I don't, and again, you know, you've got to go back and think about how many biblical texts were actually destroyed. There were so many more components to the Bible and so many more authors to the Bible that were just completely thrown out that you know, we never even got to see. So, you know, it's tough because I'm grateful, very grateful for my Catholic upbringing. I mean, I will tell anybody that. I'm not one of these bitter Catholics or whatever. I actually really loved my church and I didn't have a problem with it. But as I grew older and I began to investigate world religions and figure out that, hey, you know, there's other ways out there and there's other, you know, things to learn, it actually became a fascinating quest for me to learn as much as I could. And now what I've done is I've sort of picked certain things from each religion or a, you know, a select amount of religions that really resonate with me. And I've combined it with my experience, I suppose, that I've gained of the afterlife. And I've sort of just developed a, you know, a different way of processing things. And I mean, maybe it's not right. Maybe it's not wrong. I don't know, but it works for me. So, But
I think that's a great way to view things.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So
because I also remember in college taking theology and learning about different faiths, different religions. And I think that at the core, there's so much similarities between all major faiths.
Absolutely.
Then you take that religious component out of it and you think of like a modern day, or what we can consider modern day philosophers who are more worldly, more secular, and didn't necessarily agree with the religious views. Well, their views also kind of agreed with the traditional religious values.
Oh,
for example, you know, caring for the sick, caring for the poor, being a good human being, taking care of earth. Earth was given to us for us to cultivate, to eat off it, all those things, whether you're secular or whether you're on the religious side of things, all those things agree with each other.
Yes,
so
they do.
When you're open-minded, and like you said yourself, you value your Catholic upbringing, I share that same philosophy as well. I'm grateful that I was exposed to that, but then I'm also grateful that I was exposed at college to other points of views that were different, but at the center were very similar. And when you can kind of take and pick and choose, so to speak, what works for your life, I think that you live a well-balanced life that way.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, Rob, we all have to find our path. And what's right for one may not be right for another. But I do know what's not right. At least, I mean, IMHO, in my humble opinion, I mean, all this hatred and you know, the religious wars and blowing each other up and killing each other over something that, I mean, that it so negates the original purpose of all of it. And, you know, what I
exactly
just try to really live by is the good old golden rule, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, and boom. I mean, that's a very simple way of breaking it all down. But if you do then, I mean, I think you're pretty good, you know? So.
Yep. Absolutely. Wow, Shay, what an interesting conversation, learning about the work that you do, learning about spells and hex and
fun
all that stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the listeners really, really enjoyed this. And again, I look forward to having you back on real soon.
All right. That goes both ways. I had a great time. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
moving and grooving to this funky sound that has you moving. A Latin hip hop classic single. So let go and let your body mingle to the sound that makes you go crazy. Dig the flow and yo, don't be lazy. Take off your shirt, take off your sneakers. Feel the bass that comes at your speakers. Cause the music only gets louder. Keeping you dancing is what I'm proud of. Like a weekend or a black. I'm not a racist, so the hell with that. There's only one reason I came to party. To see you dance and wiggle your body. Up and down, down and up. This ain't no time for you to stop, so keep on moving. Known as Red Arts. It's a new house with a funky beat, guaranteed to make you move your feet. Throwing lyrics in your direction, something new, close to perfection. As you're walking and talking and moving and grooving and shaking and baking, till there's no debating. So party hard, enjoy the new sound. Like a circle, we will be around. At your service, at your front door, give you more than what you bargained for. It's the song of the 90s and you can call it Boricua Posse. Relax yourself and have no doubt. Party people in the house, let me hear you shout.
This has been an A1 Broadcasting podcast.